This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Students in West Virginia have mixed feelings about state and federal orders to repeal diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, including a ban on certain words.
I know that, like, diversity and belonging are in there, and I feel like those are some words that can be used to describe a college campus in general.
That story and more coming up on this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is provided by Hope Gas, committed to the growth and development of West Virginia to strengthen the community. Information at wvisforhope.com. An investigation into the operations of waste management of West Virginia was opened Monday. Chris Schultz has more.
The Public Service Commission of West Virginia has launched the investigation after a complaint filed by Delegate Andy Shamblin, a Republican from Kanawha County. Shamblin says he has received numerous customer complaints regarding the failure of the company to pick up refuse in the Crosslands area of Kanawha County. In a press release, the commission said it has also received complaints from waste management customers of missed pickup days, incomplete pickups, and little to no notification of changes in the service schedule, with some customers reporting that garbage has not been picked up for weeks. Commission staff will investigate and file a report within 30 days. Waste management provides service to six regions in West Virginia, including Bridgeport, Martinsburg, and Parkersburg. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
The West Virginia Legislature celebrated Deaf Awareness Day Wednesday. As Jack Walker reports, advocates say there's work to be done for the state's deaf community.
It can be hard for rural West Virginians to access resources surrounding health, education, and professional development. For deaf residents, those challenges hit even harder because existing support may not be inclusive. That's why groups like the National Center for Deaf Services offer specialized resources for members of the deaf community. Executive Director Christine Firkins says that can amend gaps in access. But first, it takes funding. Firkins says she hopes lawmakers consider expanding funds to deaf services across the state to better help residents.
So that's really the goal, is to be able to grow. So direct state funding would be a tremendous help.
The NCDS offers community-specific resources like mental health counseling, professional training, and sign language education. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jack Walker at the State Capitol.
Of course, the West Virginia legislature is in the midst of debating and attempting to pass any number of bills during the current session. But the one thing delegates and senators are constitutionally required to do is pass a balanced state budget. As part of our daily broadcast, the legislature today, News Director Eric Douglas spoke this week with Senator Jason Barrett, a Berkeley County Republican and chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, and Delegate Clay Riley, a Harrison County Republican and vice chairman of the House Finance Committee, to get their take on the budget process so far. Here's a portion of that interview, beginning with the senator.
Just as session was beginning, the governor came out and said that there was a $400 million hole in the budget. I've heard Delegate Chris and a couple others say, no, that's not. So tell us, is there a $400 million shortfall in the budget? Whichever one of you wants to take that.
Well, I think it's important to note that the governor has presented to the legislature a balanced budget. So the budget that he presented has no gap whatsoever. I think what the governor has talked about is presenting the budget in a different way than it has been in the past, and different than what the legislature is used to. And that doesn't make it right or wrong. I think it's just different. And there's been some spending that the legislature has done over the past couple of years, either through supplemental appropriations or through surplus section. And I think what the current governor was looking to do is put all those things in the general revenue section of the budget. We do have a couple of issues that are driving some of our tight budget year, the PIA contribution, as well as the expansion of the HOPE scholarship. So I think those are the things kind of driving it. But again, I'll come back to, the governor has presented us a balanced budget. We will give him back a balanced budget by April 12th.
But
You know, I'd echo the senator's sentiments as well. It's all how you look at his perspective. It's how you look at what those, whether they're one-time supplementals or whether the one-time spends or whether they were base bills. And as a new governor comes in, they take a look at what's been spent over the past couple of years, and sometimes not having the backstory of knowing that it was a three-year commitment. For example, the nursing fund, which was 3 years of $17 million, that was included in as a future potential liability, but we were done with that. So okay. I think it's a perspective of how you look at it. But it is, and I echo what the senator says, it's a balanced budget, and the governor will get a balanced budget back.
I've heard the phrase front of the budget versus back of the budget. I always kind of understood the back of the budget is the things that we like to fund but don't necessarily have to fund to operate the government. Is that?
I think that's a kind of a safe definition.
So the
front of the budget is the general revenue section, kind of those base building things that you anticipate to spend every year are typically in the general revenue or the front of the budget. The back of the budget being the surplus section where there would be a lot of one-time spends, investments, or things that maybe you have to spend once or twice over a couple of years, the way the nursing program that the delegate talked about, those things, or things that like you said, maybe you want to fund, but you don't know that you're going to have the money for, but aren't base spending.
You know, one of the things I would mention that's been in the back of the budget a couple of the years, that the past few years, this Republican-led legislature has really focused on investing in water and sewer infrastructure, roads. And so you saw a $50 million allocation in the back of the budget that said if our economy grows and we have those funds, it is a priority of this legislature to invest back in the infrastructure. I think you've seen that, and I think hopefully you will continue to see those investments.
Now, for many years, up until the last administration, but there was always a few extra days to get the budget done. The last 5-6 years that I can remember, we've had the budget done by day 60. You both said you'll have the governor will have a balanced budget by April 12th. And you're confident of that? Or?
I believe so. I mean, as Senator Barrett said, we have a really good working relationship. We can agree, we can disagree, we can hash it out. And we both represent our caucuses and what really needs in the House. You know, we'll represent the House, Senator Barrett represent the Senate, and we each have priorities. And it has been, at least I've been here 4 years, this is my fifth, we've been able to get it out on time, because I think it is important. We have a job to do, and I think it's been at least the House Finance Committee that I've served on. That's the charge that we've taken.
That was Delegate Clay Riley and Senator Jason Barrett speaking with Eric Douglas about the state budget process so far. Visit our website to hear the rest of that interview and make sure to tune in for our daily broadcast of the legislature today at 6 p.m. on TV and radio, and then again on the West Virginia channel at 7 p.m. It's also streaming on our website and YouTube channel. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Periods of rain today with gusty wind, temperatures falling into the 50s. Tonight, breezy with a chance of rain and snow with lows in the 20s. Tomorrow, sunny and breezy with highs in the 40s and 50s. Support for WVPB is provided by Hope Gas, committed to the growth and development of West Virginia to strengthen the community. Information at wvisforhope.com. State and federal orders to repeal diversity and equity and inclusion programs have spurred organizational changes at Marshall University. As Randy Yowie reports, these changes are being met with mixed reviews from students.
Among the Marshall students enjoying a warm spring-like day on campus, Logan County senior Emma Johnson has just finished giving prospective freshmen a campus tour. Johnson recently got two directives, one after another, from the university on how to discuss DEI.
We were kind of told that from now on, with the removal of DEI, that we would have to reword how we say something, so we'd have to avoid the woke words that are now part of the dictionary that we can't use in any capacity.
Johnson is referring in part to changes at the East Hall Center for Student Success, home of the Campus Intercultural Center. In an email last week, Marshall students, faculty, and staff were told the Division of Intercultural and Student Affairs will be renamed the Division of Student Affairs. The Women's and Gender Center will be renamed the Women's Center. And the Center for African American Studies, LGBTQ plus office, and International Student Office in East Hall will merge into a single entity, the Access, Connections, and Engagement, or ACE Center. Tyler County sophomore Gray Howell calls the DEI relabeling a complete waste of time.
There's so many other more important things that the university could be focusing on, and that I know that they can't really control it, but that our state and our federal government should be focusing on instead of just the language that's used in certain programs. Because I understand that they'll still be assisting people of those, you know, types, like LGBTQ students, gay students, like everyone, women will still be supported everywhere.
Beckley senior Isaiah Valentine believes the changes will be good for the campus community.
Instead of being sectioned off, I feel like everybody would be a family. You don't really got to worry about this group versus this group. Everybody be together.
So it's a good thing.
I think so, yes, sir.
After discussions with faculty, staff, students, and administrators, Marshall Communications Director Leah Payne says the school reversed its decision and determined that the removal of safe space stickers from office doors will not be required. Aiden Presley, a Marshall student from Princeton, understands the DEI changes relate to the taxpayer funds that help support Marshall.
Some people, especially like the governor of West Virginia and like the president, feel like people's taxpayer dollars should only be funded towards things they support, but not some of this LGBTQ and gender type studies. I support the changes. If they want to do it as a private thing with their own money, absolutely, that's their choice, and that's fine.
Gray Howell has a different take on state funding and DEI executive orders.
It's being reviewed because it's all state funded. It's really anti-education, it's anti-diversity, and I know that they're trying to make it seem like DEI is like segregating people based off of, you know, who they are and what they align with, but that's really so far from the truth.
For campus tour guide Emma Johnson, the rebranding made her use of terminology a little easier, but questionable.
I think it's just a little stupid, to be honest, especially with the woke words. I know that like diversity and belonging are in there, and it's not, I feel like those are some words that can be used to describe a college campus in general.
In the email to Marshall students and faculty regarding the new ACE Center, it was noted that it will serve all students, but then it included a list, including first-generation students, low-income students, transfer and commuter students, international students, and non-traditional students. That would be working adults, single parents, or veterans. Now, Marshall in the email said its mission remains the same, to foster a welcoming and supportive environment for all students. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Randy Yowie in Huntington.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills.